Well, good evening, everybody. It is so good to be with all of you here tonight, and always such a thrill for me to be able to head out this way, though my wife does now deal with seven teenagers and a 10-year-old, trying to get them to bed. It is so worth it to be out here with you guys and sharing it for me. So that works out really well. I'm really excited, especially this particular time of year, to be gathering up with you guys because in the tradition of Mosaic's annual calendar, this is a really special weekend every year because it is the weekend that is the first full weekend of the new year. And so we take a little bit of time as a whole church just to step back and to look at where we've come from, look at where we are, and look at where we're going so that we can be reminded and invited into the single-minded story that we are part of as God unfolds and unpacks for us what we were made for and what we were called to and what we were meant to be. And so it's so exciting to be with all of you this evening as we continue down that journey for the weekend. You know, this weekend's been kind of crazy because I realized last week this is the 13th time that I'm getting to do a vision weekend from the birth of Mosaic Church. So Mosaic will turn 14 this Easter. So this will be the 13th brand new year message that we get to do. And when I did in one location, it was actioners all the way around. So the 30 plus people that gathered there felt more like 90 because you saw yourself in all the mirrors, and it was super cool during worship and awkward. I remember being a part of that moment where we were dreaming about what God might do with a band of crazy people that were willing to step out and do things in a surprising and delightful way and dare to believe some of the wonderful truths of God, and not just to believe them intellectually, but to live them out. And so that was 13 years ago in a little aerobics room with one gathering in one space. And this year, as I stand before all of you, we are now in a space where our church gathers in multiple gatherings in multiple locations. As a matter of fact, it was Thursday night in the Oakland building, and then Thursday night again in the Oakland building, and then this morning at 9 in the Oakland building, and then 10 at the Winter Garden building, and then 11:17 in the Oakland building, and then 1:30 in the Oakland building, and then 5 o'clock in the Oakland building, and then 8 o'clock here for the last gathering of the weekend that is the church we call ours, right? So now we gather in multiple locations, in multiple gatherings with multiple contexts. But yet, we all gather every weekend as one church with a like-minded hope and vision and clarity, living out the gospel to make beautiful the gospel, glorify Christ, and expand the kingdom of God. And that is super, super exciting. So as we spend a little bit of time together this evening, what I hope occurs for you is that you will, whether you're relatively new to this gathering, to this church called Mosaic, or whether you have been here a while, that you will gain perspective on what it is that this church is that you are part of. You are one of our gatherings here in the context of Walt Disney World in this location, but you are part of something that is unfolding every weekend and throughout the week in multiple places with thousands of people, and it is so exciting to see. So when we launched this church a little over 13 years ago, we gathered up for quite a while before we had our very first little gathering, and we started studying and wrestling and dreaming about what it would look like to step in and become a church that would exemplify the beauty of the gospel and the call of God. See, our luxury in planting a brand new church was that we had no baggage. Every church, every relationship, every human being, the second they're born kind of baggage free, and then it begins, right? Within 6 weeks, you've exhausted your parents, and they're not sure whether they birthed you in wisdom or in foolishness, and then it just really progresses from there, right? And then as the relationships develop, we develop baggage, and we hurt each other, and we do stuff. And so every church has beauty, and it has terrible, horrible things too. That is true all the time. But when you have a brand new little space, like a brand new little baby, you really kind of start from scratch. And you're like, what can we do to at least launch in with a sense of this is what it's really about? And if we're going to strive, if we're going to run hard, if we're going to fight for something, to remain something, to become something, what is that going to be? And so after much study and wrestle and taking the words of Christ and what he said was most important in terms of living out who we are, here's what we landed on. We landed on this single idea that as a church, when it's all said and done and people look back and say, what was Mosaic? Who was Mosaic? This is what we hope they would say. That people group every single day demonstrated their passion for God and his passion for people. That's it. Really, I don't care what else is said. If they in some way can articulate, this group of people demonstrated their passion for God and his passion for people, then we have been exactly who I dream, who we together dreamed we would be. And we picked those words super carefully. We picked this word demonstrate because I know plenty of crowds and groups and churches and people that talk about, that meet about, that pray about, that committee about, that think about what it means to try to be who we're supposed to be, but we didn't want to do any of those things. We wanted to just go do it. And so we wanted to demonstrate it. We wanted to be a demonstrative, active reality of passion for God and his passion for people so that people wouldn't have to read it on a wall, they would see it in our lives. And so as we looked at that, we said, okay, if this is what we're going to do, what does that translate into? And that birthed out the very simple things we, as a church from day one, have been and continue to strive to be working at and growing in every single day. Here's what it is, right? In order to demonstrate our passion for God and his passion for people, we have got to love God. Okay, because if you don't love God, then whatever love you are expressing for people is going to be short-lived, it is not going to be sustainable, and frankly, it's not even love, it's yours. And you and I are not capable of loving with God's love unless we love God. And so we would be loving with our love, which isn't demonstrating God's passion for people, it's demonstrating our passion for people, which is tainted and skewed and selfish and all sorts of other crazy things, right? Because it comes back to us. But when we are in love with God and we are captivated by the clarity of the grace and mercy that God has given us, then we are able to step into the next part, which is demonstrating his passion for people. You don't love people. I don't love people because they need to be loved by us. People don't need to be loved by other people. We just think we do. We need to be loved by God or know God's love. And God has beautifully and graciously allowed our love for other people to be one of the active displays of his love for them. But we have to love him. So we knew we got to learn to love God. That's why at Mosaic we are so passionate constantly preaching the mercies and wonders of God in story and humor and anything else we can, because we want you as much as we want us to be captivated by the reality of the mercies of God so that we would be in love with him and be in awe of him and just go, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. God is incredible. And then out of that, we're going to learn to love people. Love God. Love people. Now that sounds beautiful, doesn't it? It's so romantic and wondrous. Just love people, but people suck. I'm just saying, all of us do. We are mean and selfish and spiteful, and then some days we're a little kind, right? I mean, in general, give it enough time and people are hard. All of us are hard. All of us have dysfunction and baggage and reality, so all of us are hard, and all of us are difficult to love at times, and so loving people is no easy task, but we have to learn to love people because that's how we demonstrate God's passion for people. And if you take loving God and loving people and you want to make that tangible, here's what that translates into in active fruit. We are going to serve the world. We are not going to exist so that the world serves us. We are going to exist so that we serve the world. And everything we do, we want to do to serve the world. So that's what Mosaic was born out of. That was what it was born out of. And when we first started with that little band of people that I talked about in the aerobics room, it was awesome. It was whimsical. It was wondrous. It was organic. It was just doing life together because there was only a few of us. And so because we had been captivated by this idea that we were going to go out and serve the world. In fact, we used to say all the time, we will serve at the cost of surviving and never survive at the cost of serving. Because if we survive at the cost of serving, then we're not even the church. So what's the point of surviving? But if we serve at the cost of surviving, what a way to go out. And so here's how we did life in those early days. We gathered up and we went and did something that was serving, painted something or moved someone out of a house or moved someone into a house, even if it was a random stranger. Hey, it looks like you want to move. Can we help you? No, we just constantly got involved in trying to figure out who needs help with whatever, and we did it. And then our communal experience was watching Lost, because that was when the Lost season was going, together at my house. So we would gather up and watch Lost. And so that was doing life together, and it was beautiful, and it was surprising. And what we did is we gathered the church up, and we said, listen, we don't ever want people to perceive or think that we are about us. And so here's the deal. We don't want you to really do anything in terms of Mosaic itself. Just do everything out there. Our only hope for you is that you would give yourself away for other things. And that was awesome. We had discovered Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. I don't know if you remember this one, but it's one of my favorites. And every time I literally say it, my mind is just boggled because I'm like, we still don't grasp how extraordinarily simple and yet profound this is. Galatians 5, 1. It is for freedom that you have been set free. That's it. You don't get that, nor do I. Because if we did, we would be utterly free. But here's what Jesus said through Paul. I set you free. So you could be free. Well, what do you want from me? No. I set you free so you can be free. And then he bothers to say this in Galatians 5:13 because the freedom is so expansive. He's like, you could do anything with that freedom. That's how free you are. So he says this in Galatians 5:13. Now, that's a pretty awesome freedom. I would definitely highly recommend that you don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature because that's going to be continually destructive. But you are utterly free. I would recommend you use your freedom to serve one another because that will birth life. See, in our freedom, he has to say that not to measure our freedom, but to say that's how free you are, that you could indulge your sinful nature with this freedom, but don't do that. And so as a church, we're like, hold on. We are that free. And we are freed up to be able to give ourselves away and serve one another because we are now found in Christ. That was beautiful. So we did that. And then in doing that in freedom and spending ourselves and serving at the cost of surviving and living on mission and doing uncommon, crazy, surprising, and delightful things like any wonderful childlike person does, right? This is what kind of happened. All these other people thought that was pretty cool. So they started coming. So the 20 turned into 50, turned into 100, turned into 500, turned into 800, and more people came. And at first that was thrilling because we're like, more people to band together to go out so we can do more stuff to serve the world. This is going to be awesome. Except then we found a huge dilemma occurred. That whimsical freedom in which we lived, where it was just like, hey, we're just a organic thing that just goes out and life is watching Lost and painting stuff. I mean, this is so cool, right? And we just give ourselves away out there. Here's what that translated into. As more and more new people started showing up, we got to the point where there were enough new people that people wanted to connect to this beautiful ideology, but they couldn't because there were so many of us that we couldn't do Lost anymore. Well, Lost was over at that point. So it was Iron Chef America, and then that was over. And so we couldn't do those. And frankly, we couldn't fit all those people in my living room. Really serving together, just, hey, a couple of texts, come on, get together, just wasn't working. And so all these people who wanted to connect couldn't connect. So they would show up on a weekend hearing the wondrous message of this freedom we live in and this mission we live on, but they really weren't part of it. And when they wanted to become part of it, we had no infrastructure and no systems and no processes and no organization. Because why? Because we didn't need any of that stuff. Because we were surprising and delightful and organic, and we just kind of went with the flow. And that sounded great, and it was wonderful until it became our detriment. because people couldn't connect. And so the only people that were really connected were those who had been there from the beginning, the first 100. And they were super connected. And they kept saying, we don't need anything else because we're fine. But all these other people were like, how do we get in? And then the other thing, another thing began to happen, which was super crazy, is when you have that many people, suddenly the chairs run out. It's kind of weird. And the children's space runs out and things run out. And see, like, it sounds weird, but then eventually, like in this room, if we suddenly had 800 people show up, it sounds great, but it wouldn't be great. Because the first 180 would sit down and then the other 700, you'd be like, sorry, good luck on the coffee out there. And so this is what began to happen. And so we stepped into figuring out how we, as a collective, could gather our resources and gather our gifts and our talents and produce some space. And so we knew we needed to expand the Oakland building. So this is before we had the other gatherings like you guys. And so we gathered the church up, this missional, generous, whimsical, organic awesomeness. And we said, okay, guys, we're going to pool our resources so that we can expand space, so that we can give all these other new people space to actually sit down in a chair and hear the gospel and be equipped and engage in mission. And the church made these tremendous commitments. And it was called the ripple effect back then. And they committed on a particular Sunday to bring their resources to bear. And when the commitments were done and written, oh, they were awesome. Big numbers on paper. We were like, wow, this is going to be so cool. And then a year went by. And by the end of that year, when the bills were due and the things had to happen and the construction was in process, it turned out that about 17% of all the people that made commitments actually fulfilled them. And the rest of the church didn't do squat. Now, it wasn't the church's fault. See, because we were what? Organically free, doing it out there and not in here. But the trouble was that in that season of wonderful freedom, we were not able to be consistent, committed, or engage in making things happen as a collective. So together, we individually did cool stuff. But as a collective, we didn't know how to commit and pool and gather. And so we started realizing, oh my goodness, we now have hundreds of people as part of the church. We were in the bottom 10 percentile of national giving in the church. So if you looked at the generosity scale, we were in the bottom 10%. And we were in the bottom 10 percentile in terms of people being in small groups and D groups and community. So everyone was gathering and doing nothing together. And we were becoming the very thing we never wanted to be. A church that had a giant gap between what we said and what we did. And that was our nightmare. We are not demonstrating God's passion for people or our passion for God. We are just gathering up and talking lots about mission. And so the leadership of Mosaic Church gathered and said, okay, this is not going to a good place. We have to figure out how to undo this. And so we gathered together, and born out of that was what you guys experienced last January. It was the Get Loud initiative. It was a 2-year vision that we put together to say we are going to engage this church into a like-mindedness and a collective that is going to mature, and in its maturing is going to become a powerful force to see the gap between what we say and what we do eliminated so that they are one and the same thing. And so we said there are 3 things we have to do if we are going to see this church mature into a people group beyond just a whimsical, childlike, surprise and delight, organic thing. And so we said we got to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, so we have to engage in making that happen. We've got to impact the world, because why? We serve at the cost of surviving, we don't survive at the cost of serving. So if we stop impacting the world and we do everything else, what's the point? And then we have to be able to expand our story. We have to be able to engage in further spaces and gatherings and campuses like you guys to be able to facilitate the engagement in different contexts and different realities. You guys here at Walt Disney World are the result of a vision that said there is a context at Walt Disney World that suburbia doesn't match. And we need to launch a gathering space for that context. And you know what that requires? A room. And you know how you get this room? you pay a hotel a bunch of money, and then they argue with you every year about more money that they need, right? And then the chairs, you rent those. You're sitting on a rented chair, yes, and that comes out of someone's bank account, i.e. Mosaic. And so all that begins to happen. So this is what we started doing. So we called people in to get loud. Trouble is, in order to equip the saints and gather up for that and expand space and continue to impact the world, we realized that's going to cost a great deal of resources. In fact, we figured out how many resources. Somewhere between 8 and 10 million resources, single dollars, right? 8 and 10 million dollars. And our church, remember, bottom 10 percentile of giving nationally. So that would mean we would have to see a 75% increase in giving in 1 year, which frankly doesn't happen. And so we said, well, we've always been crazy. Let's do it. So we came to the church, the whole church, all the gatherings, all the spaces, all the campuses, including you. And we said, listen, here's the vision, here's the dream, here's what we want to do. We need you guys to engage. And once again, our church did what they did in the ripple effect. They gathered up with little pieces of paper and they wrote down numbers that they felt God had moved in their hearts. And so now we are exactly halfway through that vision, because it's 2016 behind us, 2017 ahead of us, and it's a 2-year vision. So we just closed out the books for 2016. We together, cumulatively across campuses, made a $9 million commitment. $9 million. To be able to see that vision realized. Do you know what happened in 2016? You know what came in? I can tell you exactly, because 2016 is over now, so we can't go back and change it. $4.8 million came in 2016 from all of you, the collective that is Mosaic. So you're doing the math, aren't you? 9 million commitment divided by, that's 4.5. We're at 4.8. I think we're ahead. That exciting? So instead of going, 13% of you actually followed through, this time we get to go, you know what? Not 13%, but we collectively have demonstrated something extraordinary. We have grown up as a church. We have matured. We are able to commit and follow through on things that aren't just whimsical and wondrous, but are real and hard. And that has been amazing. And you know what that has meant? Just to be honest, you know what that has meant? That has meant that out of that generosity and the generosity that has unfolded from this church, the tangible, committed, actual things put on the table, here's what we've been able to do. You remember how I said to you we needed to equip the saints? Well, in equipping the saints, here's what's happened across campuses, including you guys. We have hired staff in the worship area, the children's ministry area, the discipleship area. We have hired staff in the pastoral care area. We have created a whole new space for equipping the saints, and that has included some of the things that have happened here at the Disney, at the Walt Disney World campus. We have also, through those hires, been able to effectively develop what we needed to develop to create the intern programs, residency programs, elder collectives, deacon collectives, and all of the leadership training that we needed to do. So out of that, we have seen dozens and dozens of interns, dozens of residents, of elders, and of deacons trained up over the last 12 months to engage in being shepherds in this church, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Not only have we seen that incredible reality occur and all of those things in ministry expansion, but we have also been preparing for the growth that continues to haunt us as a church, right? Both here at Walt Disney World as well as at the other campuses. You guys are not the only space growing that keeps moving back toward the wall. Every space we're in is seeing that happen, and so we have been preparing aggressively for that. That has translated this year into something amazing, okay? So talking about impacting the world, we said we want to do that. This year, since Get Loud started in January of 2016, this year, Mosaic Church has put $425,000 into global church planting and mercy and justice ministry. That is almost $500,000. And let me just tell you, just so you can give some context, just a few years ago when we raised $10,000 to give to global initiatives, we were super psyched. And now we have $500,000 that we just spent this year on our global partnerships and on people that need mercy and justice. We have sent 9 teams to 8 countries this year to meet with our global partners and serve them in any way that they need to be served. And all of this because of the generosity that we have been able to impact. Local impact through Mission Serve Local this year, which included, again, this particular gathering space. We spent more than 2,000 hours serving this city collectively as a single unit. 2,000 hours. If you had that on your college resume, that'd be sweet, right? 2,000 hours we spent just this year doing local projects. Families at Mosaic continue to adopt at a massive rate, which means more and more children. I don't know if you know this, but well over 200 children in the last few years have been adopted into the Mosaic story from 6 different continents and multiple countries. They all run around Oakland and they speak lots of languages, and you're never really sure whether the child can speak English yet or not. They are little, they are big, they're huge. 2 kids just showed up this week from Cambodia, I think. Maybe. Anyways, I forget. There's so many countries. And so some of my children that have been adopted ended up in conversations with them, except neither of them could speak each other's languages. So it was hilarious tonight at the 5 o'clock to watch them communicate. And these 2 kids just showed up last week. And here are some kids that look and speak and act totally differently than they do, but are clearly from a different country than this one. And that is the beauty of what's been happening. We have had over 20 children added to foster care this year in our church, which doesn't sound giant. But when we provide 2 foster care families to the foster care system, they are blown away. Most churches in our community haven't provided 1. The big churches have provided 2 or 3. We have provided 20 families just this year for the foster care system. And Mosaic Latino was birthed out of the Get Loud initiative. I don't know if you guys know this, but most of Latin America has moved to Orlando, so it works out really well, right? And so we actually have the world coming to us, and the trouble is that not only is there a slight cultural difference, but there is a language barrier. So we have launched a Spanish-speaking gathering, which happens on Thursday nights now, so you can add that one to all the other gatherings I told you about earlier. And we have hired a pastor for that gathering who is a Spanish pastor. He's amazing, Javier, and he is serving that incredibly. That is also because of the Get Loud initiative. And then special needs. We now serve over 80 families and children who are challenged with special needs. And when you come to the Oakland campus and you see this happening every weekend as they go through the children's ministry, you might say, where are the kids, a program for the special needs? And the beauty is there is no such place, because every child with special needs has a buddy, and that buddy travels with them throughout their experience at Mosaic so that they are part of everything that happens at Mosaic like everybody else. They're not in a special room or a special place or a special anything. They are just part of everything because they have a buddy with them. And that is the direct result of the resources we have had. And then on top of that, as a collective, we have been able to engage in purchasing a new space in order to grow into as we continue to expand the story. And we are aggressively working toward the next campus that will be somewhere in Orlando that will launch new gatherings in new contexts for new people to engage that currently don't drive out to the campus in Oakland or here at Walt Disney World or in Winter Garden. So all of that is the direct result of the incredible generosity of the Get Loud campaign and all that it has and continues to produce. So here's what's super cool. Just 3 or 4 years ago, we were a large church that was inconsistent, unable to commit to much. We were whimsical and wondrous and childlike, but we did not mature and we were not able to commit to anything. Not anything real anyways. We had a giant gap between what we said and what we did. And in the last 2 years, and especially the last 12 months, we have closed that gap and we have grown up as a church. And that is awesome. And we walk into the new adventure of 2017 as a grown-up church with maturity and commitment and ability to make real things happen. So we're not just talking about changing the world, we're actually changing the world. And that's super exciting. Except that there is a built-in danger in this maturing process. Just like in real life, when you're a kid You don't know that you're free because you have these things called parents and they tell you what to do, but you're actually free, right? Even now, you guys are starting to discover that. Oh my goodness, when I used to be able to just ride my bike anytime I wanted, right? My son just started his first job in the restaurant industry literally 2 weeks ago, and he is an unhappy camper because he thought it was going to be like you go, you get a meal when you're hungry from a cool restaurant, and then you kind of, you wipe a table down here and there, and the last couple of nights he's come home, and he's got school too, and he's got soccer, and he's like, I'm so tired. Can I quit? And I'm like, nah, I got you that job. Now you're sticking it out for a year at least. And he's like, this is no fun. And all his brothers and sisters are like, oh, it's so cool you have a job. And he's like, nah, no, right? There's a wonder about that childhood reality. But the trouble is, there is a great danger in freedom without maturity because it creates what we found out we were, wonderful, whimsical realities, but no real ability to make anything happen. But there's also grave danger about turning into adult, isn't there? Because once you become an adult, now you guys are like in that in-between world because you got to be part of Walt Disney World, and so they take adults and try to make them kids, right? And so you guys are awesome. You guys will get what I'm saying now because you're actually living in the right space in this. But when you become an adult and suddenly you have a job and you have bills and you got a little place you're renting or you buy something and then you suddenly find yourself with a spouse and these little things running around that are called children and they're demanding and you're like, oh my goodness, very quickly you can forget what it was like to be daring and to be crazy and to jump off things that were too high and to just to take chances and risks, and everything becomes efficient and effective and practical. And the danger of our church is that now that we have seen the fruit of what happens when we become committed and mature and efficient and effective and practical, it's pretty cool fruit, honestly. $500,000 into global missions when we used to do 10,000. Incredible things happening in special needs, amazing things impacting the world. That's pretty awesome. And our temptation will be that we gather up and we take all that whimsical wonder of being kids and just daring to do crazy, stupid, uncommon love kind of things, and we settle on those and we get into just what church does, right? We get together, we're generous here, we serve here, and then the organization, this collective, does all these big things and we're part of it, and that's awesome. And if we do that, we will lose the wonder of who God made us to be. You see, we need maturity because freedom without maturity is childishness. But freedom with maturity is childlikeness. And childlikeness is a demand in Scripture. Be like the kids, like the children. Don't lose the daring wonder of giving more than you ought, of being uncommon and surprising and delightful in the way that you love, in not being about yourself but being about others, in serving at the cost of surviving. Dare to do that. So as we walk into a year where we are poised for great impact as a whole collective, we want to dare ourselves to take our newfound maturity and collide it with the beauty of our original and ongoing freedom. In fact, in the new building that we just purchased, we have asked the design team that we're working with to literally place this into the building. So you guys may not know this, but we in Oakland, where the campus is there, we are on a nature preserve. No joke, like legitimately nature preserve. And next to us, there's a farm of exotic African animals. So it's not unusual to see a zebra, not kidding, zebra walk by, or an ostrich, or some giant cattle out of Africa somewhere, or a wildebeest, and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm in Africa, and then right there's a lake with gators in it, I'm in Florida, and then around me are butterflies and trees, and then there's a little building and we're in it. And you know what we just bought? We bought a concrete block on a concrete pavement on a concrete street on a main drag. It's everything that we don't love. Do you know why we bought a big concrete block on a concrete pad on a main street? Because it's big and cheap. No, for real, it's big and cheap. And we don't want to spend our resources on brick and mortar in beautiful lakeside views with zebras. We love that, but that's not what we need to go buy. We need to buy big and cheap so that it can be efficient, effective, and get done the job that needs doing, right? But here's what we told the design team. We want to take that concrete block, and we want you to design into this building we want you to design a garden that is invading the concrete, like coming through the walls and places and like coming for us. That sounded a little more horror movie-like than I wanted it to. It's more like reminding us. How's that? Okay, it's not coming for us. It's reminding us. What is it reminding us about? That as we mature, and we ought to mature, we must never forget that it is the true, organic, whimsical, childlike, daring nature that is, let's go, let's serve, let's give beyond our ability. Let's do it just because we can. Let's not have an agenda. Let's not bring people in, but let's go out to them. All that stuff. We need to keep doing that because ultimately it is not the garden that is ideal, nor is it the brick and mortar practicality that is ideal. It is the collision of the two that is ideal. And we are becoming a church that is colliding maturity with freedom. And when we do that, it's going to be awesome. Now, here's how that's advantageous to you as this gathering and advantageous to us as the other gatherings. You guys are whimsical, childlike awesomeness, right? Uncommon love. You shoot around Disney and hand little cards out for no other reason than just to make people smile. You guys do all these super cool D groups and you gather up for pizza stuff and it's just like, oh my goodness, it's so cool. And constantly we are challenged at the Oakland campus as we become practical and adult-like. Then Brady comes in and he goes, guess what we just did? And then it's some whimsical wonder and then we're like, we can't have them do that and us not do something like that. What can we dare to do? And then we keep daring crazy things like little kids because you guys are challenging us to remain the beautiful, organic thing that we always once were. And we, as we learn to structure and become practical and call into big things, we are teaching you to grow up a little. Because we need to grow up a little and we need to remain a child a little. And we need to live right in between those two tensions. One of my favorite passages in Scripture, and I'll kind of leave you guys with this thought as we think about 2017 and who we, the collective of Mosaic, want to continue to be and become. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 I love because, in my opinion, it is the single most extraordinary single chapter that unpacks the fruit of what happens when a human being collides with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Romans chapter 1 through 11 is the unpacking of the gospel. We will experience that over the next 23 years as we travel through the book of Romans because it's going to be a while. It's a crazy cool book, right? And here's what's going to happen, right? You're going to discover in Romans chapter 1 through 11 the intricacy and wonder and beauty of the mercies of God. And then Romans chapter 12 starts this way. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, considering what you've just understood from Romans 1 through 11, in view of God's mercy, present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. For this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know what the will of God is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, it starts right out the gate saying when you collide with the mercy of God, the first thing that happens is this. You realize that that story you were building for yourself is dumb. You thought it was cool, but it's dumb. And the story that God was building for you that you thought was dumb is really super cool, right? That's the kind of great transition that happens when you collide with God. His story for me is super cool. My story for me is dumb. And so you start going, I want to give myself to your story because your story is awesome and I want to be part of your story. You give yourself to the story of God and you let him do with you whatever he sees fit. And suddenly all the pursuits that you thought would bring you wonder, they don't matter anymore. And what brings you wonder is laying those down for the sake of others because he is enough for you. And that sets you free. Then after that, the very next part in Romans chapter 12, he goes right into who we are as a collective. So he says, first, you are going to give yourself to God. It's pretty awesome. Then you are going to give yourself to a collective as the collective gives itself to you. We are part of a body, Romans 12 says. And what it means to be part of a body is that each one of you are made by God intentionally to play a little part in this collective that he calls the body of Christ. Some of you are the little tendon between the two bones in the finger right here in this joint. Some of you are a liver. Some of you are the nose. Some of you are eyes. And so here's what we do in our culture. We take the tendon between the fingers that we never see and we say, oh, I'm so sorry that that's you. We take the liver and go, oh, you're a liver? It's like red and awkward and bloody and you never really see it. Oh, you're the nose and the eyes? Oh, that's super cool. How did you get that job, right? Because the outward is always what we look to as a culture. But God goes, no, no, no. You see, you can take the nose and cut it off and guess what? The human's fine. I mean, it hurts a bit. But other than that, you'll be fine. But you pull the liver out and you die. So sometimes the very things that we make least important are most, and the things we make most important are least. See, you've been told, I bet, because you're American, that that you can be whatever you want. Isn't that so beautiful? You can become whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. This is America. You can do whatever you want. By the way, that is a complete and total fabrication. It is a lie. It is not true. There is no pixie dust that will make you whatever you want to be. Yes, you can have whatever vocation you want, but that doesn't mean anything. It's not going to do anything for you. You can't be whoever you want. God didn't make you to be whoever you want to be. He made you to be exactly what he made you to be. And your job is to discover who he made you and then find the beauty of contentment in being exactly who you're meant to be. And that is supposed to happen in a collective called the body of Christ. And when we, the collective, become content with whichever part we were meant to play, and we don't take too much pride if we're the big, beautiful eye, and we don't take too much horror if we're the liver bleeding out and taking all the toxins out, right? We don't worry about that. We're like, I'm thrilled to be the liver, and I'm thrilled to be the eye, and we both play an important part in the story, just different. Then suddenly we begin to function as a display to the world of the beauty of how God can take multiple broken pieces and make them a beautiful collective. And we display our passion for God and his passion for people. And then, watch this. This is so cool. After he talks about being part of the body, the maturing process of being part of a collective and being able to work as a collective to affect extraordinary things like we've just done in the Get Loud initiative and are continuing to do, now he talks about what that collective, as it spreads out as individual parts in the community, begins to look like. Okay, watch this. Listen. Romans 12, verse 9, ongoing. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality to all. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head, which simply means you will lead him to repentance. It's a beautiful illustration of us leading someone to Jesus. Watch this. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is who we were meant to be. And when we, the collective, in our maturity, can affect real things, and then we spread out as the collective in our individuality, and we live out this reality, then we will become the beautiful collision of childlike freedom and adult-like maturity. And in that, we will become a force that Jesus called the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the redemptive power of the church. That's us. Welcome to 2017. That is who we are going to become. That is who we're going to learn to be, mature and yet childlike, effective and efficient, yet daring and crazy. Welcome to the collective mosaic. Let's pray. God, thanks. Thanks for allowing us to be part of something so awesome called your church, not just Mosaic, we are one small part, but this giant generational global collective of men and women and children that have encountered the gospel and are now spending themselves together for the redemptive reality of this planet, expanding your kingdom. God, may we be great stewards of that responsibility. Being committed to the collective, giving ourselves fully here as a mature, diligent people, but yet daring to give ourselves away more than ever outside the walls of this place in uncommon, wondrous, surprising, and delightful ways. Whether it is walking around Disney World with a little card telling people how awesome they are, or whether it is getting on a plane, traveling to Italy, and being part of an incredible mission around the globe that costs us a great deal of time, money, and energy because somebody out there needs us. God, whatever it is, locally or globally, inspire us, challenge us to give ourselves away more than we thought we could, more than we thought we ought, like childlike people daring great things. God, help us to be a church that doesn't do things to make ourselves better, but does things to better everybody else, even if it costs us. Help us to be beautiful. Beautiful in our maturity, beautiful in our freedom, beautiful in our effective efficiencies, beautiful in our daring craziness. Help Mosaic at Walt Disney World continue to dare us to be whimsical and daring, and help us to continue to dare them to be committed and mature and jump into the hard things whenever the hard things aren't whimsical and wondrous. Help us to be the best of each other.